I'm Roger Johnson and you're listening to Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 16 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly sponsored by our friends at Crown Ash Developments. As ever, I'm joined by Matt.
Hiya.
And Cookie.
Hello.
We're privileged to have Cookie here. He's obviously joining us before the big game. Obviously, we're not talking about Leighton Orient tomorrow, as in Saturday. We're talking about the Bromley FC staff slash players slash anybody related, basically. Is it Met Police?
We're playing the local Metropolitan Police. By the time this podcast comes out.
Oh, is it local? It's the local. It's not the Met Police. It's not Scotland Yard branch. It's not Scotland Yard. It's Bromley South branch.
8:15 kickoff, so come down. Cheer us
Cookie,
on.
Most people will be listening to this later on this evening. The game would have already happened.
Some might.
Anyway, thank you very much for joining us. Obviously, we're going to start with FA Cup, but I guess before that, I should probably tell people what's coming up on this week's show.
Yes, we should. So we're going to have a look at the Peterborough game, as Jeff was just saying, in detail.
Yep, and obviously you caught up with Neil Smith after the Peterborough game, Matt.
I did. We're going to hear from our friends over at Sporth, who got plenty of great media coverage of the game.
I managed to catch up with David Gregory.
We're going to look ahead to the Leighton Orient fixture on Saturday.
And you caught up with Roger Johnson.
Yes, we're going to get your favourite FA Cup memories as well.
And obviously leave it open for a new question to be asked.
Which we've definitely decided already.
Have we, though?
No.
No, I guess we're supposed to say yes.
Okay, so obviously FA Cup last week. Wow, football, eh? Amazing crowd. Over 3,000, wasn't it? Obviously limited with regards to the south stand sitting construction. It's a fantastic atmosphere. What minute was the goal?
40th minute.
It was rocking. We were literally, I'd come out of the poor cabin and I just managed to catch it, and it was just watching the terrace, everything. You couldn't see the terrace. So many people, all you could see was heads. And just an amazing atmosphere. And you're like, oh my, every year I feel like we got, you know, closer or... football, eh?
That was it, Jeff. I think that really was our best performance, certainly, against one of the big boys for a very long time. The first 40 minutes, we more than matched them, and I think we actually deserved to go ahead. Omar had a shot cleared off the line not long before and had a back heel saved, and we were looking really, really good, in fairness. And
I mean, to be fair, a bit of a backstory, probably. I've got to drop this in, because I'm sure we can't get in trouble with the FA now, but... one of the biggest issues before the game, which is quite bizarre, was we never received the FA Cup footballs.
No, we didn't, did we?
You know, usually when we get to the FA Cup first round, I say usually, like, obviously it's happened quite often, we've been fortunate enough, but when you get to the first round, you have to use the FA footballs. In previous years, they've been Nike, if I recall.
Yeah.
And I think this year, they've...
Mitre.
Mitre. And we never received them. So last week, the week before, we were chasing the FA, they said, yeah, it's coming out to your delivery, blah, blah, yeah. Came to Wednesday, came to Thursday, still didn't have them. And literally, we ended up with four being delivered, didn't we, on Friday night. So players hadn't had a chance to train with them at all. And then Saturday morning, no one from the FA was supposed to be here, but one poor chap was here from the FA as part of this Sporth social media coverage, wasn't he, I think? Or Mondial Mag, who were doing an online feature for us. And this poor bloke from the FA was only a media guy, but he had to deal with our whole raft as obviously we were all fuming. We can't, with regards to having to play with these footballs, we still only had four. I mean, for people who watch the games, as soon as the ball goes out of the ground, we're never getting it back here at the moment, especially if it goes into the south stands. So there was a whole... it wasn't an argument, I'd say discussion before the game of, look, we're being serious here. We genuinely have four FA Cup footballs. We can't be playing a match with them because we'll lose them straight away. And it was all obviously happening in the tunnel. The match referee was involved, and Neil and... what's his name from Peterborough?
Steve Evans.
Steve Evans, yeah. He'd obviously... I mean, he'd use any excuse, football's pitch, whatever it was, but... yeah, that was all going on pre-match. So that wasn't exactly the most calming of situations before a game to prepare for, and we ended up having the FA bloke involved, and he was ringing back to Wembley and ringing back to competitions, etc. And eventually they decided that they were going to use the FA Cup footballs. Is that right? But when once they went out of the ground, we run out of them, they were then going to go switch over to the JCO footballs.
I don't know if that happened, did it? I think we got to stick with
lost two,
so we kept two.
Yeah,
it's great though. It's not a problem because the other eight arrived on Monday after the game. So they're laughing. Honestly. So they're currently recommended retail price of 32.
Jim Brown will be selling them in the club shop.
Oh dear. But anyway, the game, first half, wow. I mean, when you think this could be our moment, and you think how close you've got in previous things, you think they'll never get the rubber to green or whatever. And I don't think we're very fortunate with the TV picks, we weren't on telly, etc., etc. But 40 minutes when that goal went in, you're standing there going, you're watching around the ground, and it's so surreal. It's almost in slow mo. It's like, this is it. This is it. You talk about all first round, you stay in it for as long as possible. The longer you stay in it, the more likely it is. Just on the stroke of before half time, you're thinking you're in the perfect situation. And then obviously what happened.
Yeah, and what happened, Jeff, was unfortunately Frankie Raymond getting sent off just 4 minutes after Bromley took the lead through Roger Johnson. And it was a deserved goal, I think, as I was saying earlier. Had several good chances and really matched Peterborough. Unfortunately, you just got the feeling, I don't know about you guys, but when that sending off happened, you just got the feeling.
I knew from the free kick.
Yeah.
Resulting free kick. Even Absolutely. When it came in and it was headed away the first time.
I knew it was going in.
And ball and back and forth.
Yeah.
I just knew it wasn't ending with anything else other than a goal for them.
Absolutely,
you could just sense it. I'm sure that was the same for most of the 3,000 people that were in the ground.
I think everyone was still thinking about the sending off, and obviously were quite unhappy with it, rather than actually defending the set piece. And it was unfortunate you then to go in on level terms.
Yeah, it's great.
Minutes.
Despite not making any contact, the sheer fact that it was anywhere near these days. It's amazing reading the social media and everything like that of how, you can't do that in front of people and that's all naturally going to be red card and everything. Like that. It's just amazing. I don't know what to say. A case live on telly when Welling were playing? Was it one of the first ever times they changed a rule about the retrospective disciplinary and stuff, where if you feigned an injury to get an opponent sent off and everything like that? But I can't really argue about it now. It doesn't make any difference. And what's even worse is I was under the impression of the competition specific sanctioning, but apparently that only applies to the cautions. So obviously, when you get a yellow card, it only counts in the FA Cup, isn't it?
Yeah.
But for red cards, it's completely different. It's still the same rules apply as
it's
always.
It's across the board, isn't it? Unfortunately, which obviously doesn't
change your ringtone, can you?
doesn't result well for us, unfortunately, in that one. And obviously, as we've been hearing, Frankie will miss the game tomorrow.
And two games after that?
Yes, that's right, yeah. So, unfortunately, leaves us a little bit light in midfield.
Obviously,
sure.
we know how the rest of the game panned out.
Yeah.
I think an absolute 10 players remaining on the park with an absolutely fantastic job. You know, all things considered, I think a lot of people would expect a side to capitulate at that point and for the inevitable
didn't.
To happen, but I
really
think that wasn't the case at all. Obviously, in terms of the actual day, again, the tickets set in advance. We were up again. I know it's not like Palace were at home. Palace were at home to Tottenham?
Tottenham
sellout crowd, 5 o'clock, 21,000. And we have a lot of floating supporters that come from Palace, etc. So to sell out without that was absolutely fantastic. And as far as I'm aware, everybody got inside the ground in time for kickoff, everything. So it's really a credit to all the staff and everybody behind the scenes at the football club that the day ran so smoothly. And Matt's just waving at me.
Yes, we had the under-12 and under-10 Rooks teams join us.
Oh, gosh, we had some representatives from Chartwell as well.
We did, yeah. So we had the under-12 and under-10 Rooks joining us as the mascots. And as flag bearers, we had some children from the Chartwell Cancer Trust, as well as a few fans that gathered around the tunnel, popped a flag in their hand and brought them out onto the pitch. But it was really nice of a gentleman that Jerry knows from BNI to donate 4 tickets to Chartwell family, and they were able to come and enjoy the day, and the children were flag bearers. So wonderful day for them.
Oh, it's brilliant. Nice little touches. And obviously the Bromley police, they had a day out, didn't they? They all came down on their wagon.
Yeah,
watch a bit of football.
Obviously it was a high risk game.
So how many Peterborough fans were there in the end?
There was 450
540. I mean, all due respect to all the Peterborough fans who did come down, it was quite funny seeing them all moan on social media they didn't have enough tickets, not enough were offered, etc. But I think we actually offered them about 700 in total and they didn't take them all up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting one on that one. But, yeah, obviously, just one of those. I think it's taken a whole week for it to sort of sink in, really. What was the draw in the end? Was it Bradford or Aldershot?
Yeah.
Is that on telly?
No.
The replay?
No.
Hasn't been chosen on telly?
No,
oh, okay.
So we wouldn't have got it anyway.
I'll cheat out of it. Who were the replays that were chosen on telly?
Tranmere versus Oxford.
Oh, Salford was chosen, wasn't Tranmere. It? Was it
and Salford
well?
I think, yeah.
Oh, no. Obviously, the technicalities of that mean our game at home to Wrexham on the 1st of December has now been postponed. Wrexham are still in the competition. Cool, they've got Newport County. I dread to think about the police bill for
tasty.
That one. That must be live on telly. In terms of possible rearrangements, I'm not really sure what's going to be possible on that front. But obviously, elsewhere in fixture news, I'm jumping a bit here, Matt, but I've just realised, obviously, we've got the Kev Reliance Senior Cup draw was made, wasn't it?
We have, and we've been drawn at home to Charlton Athletic, and as Charlton put it themselves, the under-23s, who beat Cray Wanderers 5-1 here at Hayes Lane on Wednesday night. We're just awaiting a date on that one.
I imagine they're going to want to play it by the end of December. I imagine it's probably going to be played in January.
Yes, probably.
How else to sum up the day? I suppose best probably to leave it to manager Neil Smith.
Neil, what a great account we've given of ourselves this afternoon.
Yeah, especially the first half. Up until the sending off, I thought the boys were outstanding. To go a goal up, you know, at home, front three and whatever, thousands of supporters, was amazing, gave them something to cheer about. And just disappointed we've won the free kick and the two, and it ends up as a red card. So they score from that, and you're coming in, not only are you 1-1, but you've also lost a player.
And obviously with 10 men, it does give yourselves a mountain to climb, doesn't it? But I felt we were in the game the whole time, would you agree?
Yeah, we were just trying to hang on in there and just give ourselves a chance, a free kick, a corner, just something that we can actually try and get something from. It was always going to be hard. Free-flowing football wasn't going to be the case, but we just stay in the game, and as soon as they got the second one, you know, you're fighting a losing battle in respect of, you know, a quality side like Peterborough. They're going to be very, very clinical in front of goal, and that's how they got their second one from Godon, you know. And then as soon as he scored, it was going to be really difficult.
And as good as Peterborough are, very good side, we seem to make it difficult for them pretty much all afternoon.
Yeah, that was our game plan. We wanted to make it difficult. I just thought our game management towards the end of the first half was a little bit poor, and I think that's what's cost us the game today. I don't think it was about ability. I thought we matched them. I thought we matched them in every department. That game management, you know, just sending off. Frankly, shouldn't have put himself in that situation. Gives the referee an opportunity to do something, give a decision. Whether it was a straight red, I'm not too sure. But, you know, I just feel sorry for the boys. I feel sorry for the supporters. I thought they, you know, I think they gave them the best opportunity that this club's had for a long time to try and get through that second round, especially against the League One side. And we just fought towards the end.
And the support this afternoon, absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, amazing. I've said it since I walked through the door. You know, everybody, they just get behind you. They support you. Even at the end, you know, they've packed the boys off knowing, you know, they've put a shift in for them. They've given everything, you know, and we're just disappointed. But we have to dust ourselves down, get ourselves in for Monday and get ready for the Orient game next week.
And what is the message to the players after a good performance, but a result like that?
Yeah, you just match yourself against the team that are third in the League One. Could be playing Championship next year. And I don't think we looked out of place for them, especially in the first 45 minutes. In the second half, as I say, it was always going to be difficult, but they stuck to the game plan. They never gave up, and that's what I expect from them now to the rest of the season.
Well, obviously, hats off to Matt joining Cookie in deciding to do interviews in the most awkward of places possible.
Can I just say, if the
just give us a recap.
If the board would have gone up, I would have been able to do it.
Has anybody actually seen a photo on social media of where this interview took place?
I haven't.
So for those who aren't aware, back of our dressing room, back of the home dressing room, goes onto a corridor, which on the other side of the corridor is a bar cellar. So if you could have chosen a noisier place for it to happen, I'd be quite impressed. Secondly, if you see the video, that FA Cup interview board, which you have to do for commercial rules or whatever, you get another fine. That was sitting on top of a stepladder, which was angled on the angle, and they were videoing it basically down the corridor. All you can hear in that interview, I can apologise for the audio quality, because all you can hear is a shower. That's all you can hear.
I didn't know.
I think it's fantastic improvisation. Like I said, if the board would have gone up, it wouldn't have happened. So, you know,
I think that's the thing that you could be commended to that. Obviously, a frustrated nil there. Nevertheless, I think, you know, like you said, boys gave the best account of themselves that they could during the game. And I must admit, for especially the fans in there, everybody said exactly the same. Red card, change of game, etc. Proud of the performance. The boys really put a shift in. And we all left disappointed because of the result, but I think no one left disappointed because of the effort or the application shown by the team.
And, of course, the crowd as well, which was absolutely fantastic. And like you mentioned earlier, the atmosphere was electric at times. And especially when that goal went in, it was one of those moments that you just will remember for years to come.
And look, we're 10 games into the season, nine home league games, is it, one FA Cup game, and I think our average crowd at the moment is, I've got it written, 1,742. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. I mean, what was it last year? 1,400. We've got to keep that going now, put the same amount of energy into promoting the game. Same with Dagenham. Dagenham's going to be a great game next weekend. I know we'll come on to that later. But obviously, the game itself attracted a lot of media interest. We had BBC London all of a sudden realised we existed. they remembered that we were a football club. BBC Kent came along as well. They remembered that we existed.
Obviously,
they can't decide whether we're in Kent or London, so most of the season they ignore us. Yet when we get an FA Cup for some reason, we seem to exist in London and Kent, which is quite surreal. And then they want free seats in the press. But anyway, nevertheless, some great coverage. Also, some online outlets, we touched on it recently, Football Mondial, there's a great piece. It's got the I think sort of almost the faces of Bromley. They had a photographer and the interviewer down, and we'll have to put a link out on Twitter. I think we have already. If you haven't seen it, just head over to Twitter. And they sort of did a snapshot of some of the Sally in the turnstiles, Julia's mum. We had Roy Oliver, obviously Jim Brown, and his little profiles, and it's a really nice read, I must admit, because it's come from someone unaware of the football club. He's come into the football club and met people and then made a judgment on the football club. And it's really nice. And another one of the outside people who have come in and been a part of that day and expressed their views on the football club were the online, is it Sporf?
Sporf, yes. Sporf. 12 million followers on Instagram.
Who are they? Are they like one of these online?
It's like
social media football.
It used to be BBC Sport, I believe, on Twitter, and it was like a spoof thing. It's developed into a lot more. It's actually a football news outlet now. It's a bit more quirky than your sort of traditional ones. They like banter and jokes and things like that. But they were very, very professional in their coverage of us, and we were all over the Instagram stories all day.
So for Sporf, they came down. They're an FA media partner, aren't they, for the FA Cup?
It was their first ever FA Cup game.
Oh, fantastic. And they sent down two journalists. Is that the right profession?
I'm not sure.
Presenters?
Yeah,
journalists, whatever.
Presenter and a producer, I think.
For those of you who are social media savvy on Instagram, etc., they were doing Instagram stories throughout the day, everything like that. And the presenter, obviously, Matt, you were working quite closely with them.
Yes, Rachel came down along with a colleague and followed me around for a lot of the afternoon, just seeing what different bits were going on. We did let them in the office, so I had a look around here.
Oh, yeah, they're really impressed with the portal cabin. They absolutely. They came in and they thought, I'll tell you what a professional outfit. They've made it, these boys.
They got to meet Jim Brown.
Is there aircon in there?
In the other portal cabin next door, which is, as many of you will know, the club shop.
No, but joking aside, in terms of numbers, people love a number and the stats and stuff. I think this Instagram, this Twitter, Facebook, etc., like you said, I think they have 12 million followers. And they did a story today, which was like a video diary, basically, my understanding of it.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, so it was various different bits throughout the day. So it'll be recorded by one of the two Sporf staff who were down, and then it'll be sent to the producer, who would then edit it and then put it out on the Instagram story.
So they did like a bit like a behind the scenes. Obviously, we do an inside the club video, which Ross, our student from UCFB University, did a great job. I don't know if you've seen that. That's over on the YouTube and on the website. But that's what this Sporf were doing. They were doing it behind the scenes. So they had you doing a team sheet. They had the team sheet exchange. I think they interviewed Nick Nuttall, the kit man, all of that. And like you said, I think it's been seen by how many people?
About over 4 million,
I think,
at the minute.
You managed to catch up with Rachel.
Rachel,
the presenter. I think she gives us all the details.
Yeah.
Hi, it's Rachel. I was with you guys last Saturday for the first round of the FA Cup. It was a great performance in the first half. It was a shame the result didn't reflect the team's performance, but let's hope they go to do well in the league through the rest of the season. I'd say a big thumbs up to Bromley Football Club for its terrific community spirit that made me feel so welcome and part of the team. I can't wait to come back and do more with you guys in the future. I was there filming with Sporth, and so far we've hit over 4 million views and the content was a huge success, and that's all down to Bromley Football Club. And yeah, we can't wait to come back and see you guys very soon.
Very complimentary there from Rachel. Obviously, I mean, 4 million views, that's quite a lot, isn't it? I mean, that's almost as many people listen to the podcast.
Well, nearly. It's not quite, but it's close. But no, in all seriousness, what a great way to promote the club on an FA Cup day. And yeah, the content was really, really good. I haven't watched it through at the end of the game.
It's still available on social media, is it? I think we retweeted it from Bromley FC,
yes,
anyway, for those
we
who
have,
didn't see
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so it's all on one sort of showreel over at Bromley FC. If you scroll down a little bit the past few days, it's yeah, a really nice piece.
So we're, what are we on, 5-6 days on? I think we've just about done our utmost to get over it. Obviously, I think one of the players who really stood out as ever and did himself, I say one of the players, they all did, but Gregory in goal, obviously that second half, 10 minutes edge of the defence, like you said, were resolute, etc. However, he was called upon numerous occasions, and as ever did himself proud. Fantastic save, I think it was in the second half.
Yes,
I think when I was looking, I saw you see the video on Twitter.
Brilliant
again.
Save.
And obviously, David, you managed to catch up with him during the week.
David, we're quite near the building work, so we're trying to be as loud as possible. It's been an up and down season so far, but how have you found it yourself?
I think started slowly, but I think after the first 6 or 7 weeks we found our feet again, picked up a bit of form. Hopefully we can take that into Saturday, actually. So I think the slow start didn't help anyone, but since that start, I think we've levelled off and found some form.
Fantastic. And going into this weekend, Latinor in, obviously big game, but Peterborough last week, how was it for you against Peterborough?
A great learning curve, I thought. Game management, we let ourselves down, I think, so close to half time, losing Frank and conceding, something to learn from, I think, as a group, as a unit, just to see out halves when we are ahead, and yeah, and to be resolute when we are behind. I think we dealt with that quite well, despite conceding two against a team of their stature and how high they are in League One. I think we were quite resolute defensively, just couldn't get a result with 10, unfortunately, but that's the way it goes, unfortunately, in the Cup. But,
yeah, still a proud performance from a lot of the guys out there. It's been an interesting season for you so far in the background. Obviously, losing Glyn Schimmel as a goalkeeping coach and then Chris Dixon coming for a bit, and now you've got Jim Stannard. How's it been for you? Have you adapted your game much? Has there been much change?
No, I think most of goalkeeping is much of the same, really. It's just about maintaining yourself and what you can learn off of each and every individual that comes in, whether it be a coach, whether it be an individual as in a goalkeeper. It's just, there's always things you can learn off of anyone, whether it be one thing or many things. So yes, I learnt a lot from Shimsy, I've learnt a lot from Chris, and I've learnt a lot from Jim in his time here as well. I've known Jim for a while, away from football as well, so he's a good character to have around for me personally, which is good.
Fantastic. And obviously we see your dad being your number one fan, but we see plenty of people comment on the fantastic saves you've made, not just this season but last season as well. But what's your particular favourite save that you've done in the past two seasons at Bromley?
Oh god, our penalty save at Wembley was one that I'll always remember, I think. But I just have to go with that one, I think. Yeah
that's fantastic, David. Always good to catch up with you. Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
Well, incredible. Just when you thought Matt had topped the most awkward places to go and do an interview, David goes and interviews David next to the construction site.
David, this is David speaking.
I know you're laughing, but usually we ask players, we do an interview, don't you? And then you ask the player and we'd record an intro. I don't know if you listen to the podcast regularly, you'll know every single week we have a different player. So this week it was Roger Johnson. You're listening to Ravens Weekly. So
could
obviously,
not
David,
have timed it worse.
You go to do it for David Gregory, and of course this happens.
Hello, this is David Gregory. You are listening to the Ravens Weekly.
What was that? Just two tons of tight one going down?
In my defence, I was outside the Ravens bar. And it no, it's just happened halfway through.
At least it proves it works going on South then, for those for those who aren't sure. always good to hear from David Gregory there.
And the construction guys.
Obviously, next up, who managed to catch up with Roger Johnson? Matt?
Moi.
Matt. Yes. Obviously, Roger has had a...
bit of an injury layoff recently, hasn't he? And then he's come back to fitness. I think his first game back was Hartlepool. His first game back in the starting 11, and he was absolutely outstanding and got in team of the week.
Yeah, he's been fantastic since he's come back, hasn't he? Proving that he's still got it and that he still deserves a chance in the first team. You know what Neil's like, if it isn't broke, don't fix it. And he come back, prove his worth and
scored a goal against Peterborough. Gave us that dream for those few minutes.
Has he scored more for Bromley now than he did at Charlton?
I think he didn't. I don't know if he got any at Charlton. He's got two for us now. That's his second goal. Yeah. So, yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Obviously, on that note, Matt, you managed to catch up with him earlier today.
I did.
Roger, wasn't to be for us last week, but a goal from yourself and a really good performance given the circumstances.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough ask once we went down to 10 men. But like you said before that, I think we were the better team. We were the underdogs, and I thought we soaked up the pressure, and our game plan was spot on first half. But obviously, the sending off kind of killed us. So it was kind of like what could have been, really.
And everyone seemed to bounce back quickly from the Braintree setback. It was a great performance against Hartlepool, and we seemed to carry that through into the Peterborough game despite a high level opponent.
Yeah, Hartlepool was very good, solid. Again, first half performance, I think, got us the results. We were hard to break down and solid as a unit. And then we got our reward in the second half by going on and winning 4-0. But yeah, again, going into the Peter game, we were full of confidence, obviously, from the week before, and that showed when it was 11-11.
Tomorrow is always going to be a tough game away to Leighton Orient. It's going to be a fantastic crowd as well. Does that have any bearing on it for you as a player? Obviously, you're very experienced with it.
Yeah, I mean, crowds, that's never seemed to really bother me. So no, I just hope everyone's on it and just block the crowd out. But obviously, each individual deals with it in certain ways. But yeah, it'd be a good game to play in. Disappointed we're not going there full strength with the boys that are missing, but it gives a chance for the other boys that are coming in to show what they're about. If we get a result, then they'll find themselves in the team again.
And you've come back to full fitness yourself recently, playing really well. How are you feeling?
Yeah, good, really good. Tough period, obviously, we've been injured, and then the not getting back in the team, the boys were winning, so that was justified. But now I'm back in the team. Like you said, I think I feel playing okay. And I'll be looking to keep the shirt for as long as possible.
Roger, thanks for joining us. Best of luck for the game.
No worries, thanks.
Great to hear from Roger there, as always. As Roger referred to, obviously next up is Leighton Orient tomorrow. We're recording this on Friday. Obviously, a sellout crowd by the sounds of it. Been doing football for a fiver. Sellout crowd. Matt, we've been allocated, I mean, from my understanding, it's 900 in the away section, isn't it?
Yes.
In terms of what it can hold. We've been allocated around 500 physical tickets, yes, which, as of this afternoon, completely sold out. So, yeah, a really healthy contingent going over to the game, which is a fantastic effort from everyone.
Absolutely. It's brilliant. You could see the uptake of the tickets was really strong.
And I must admit, the fans that have been coming in, not all of them have been what I would call sort of diehard regulars. There's been a few who came to Peter a game, appreciated the effort that was involved and gone, you know, I like what I see, I'm going to go and see it again. And
absolutely.
Yeah, we're going to have a really good crowd over there.
And yeah, hopefully we'll have a lot of Bromley voices to get behind Neil Smith's men. It's sure to be a tough game. Leighton Orient having a fantastic season so far, sitting second in the league, just 1 point behind the league leaders, Wrexham. Obviously, did the double over them last season, Cookie, didn't we? Obviously, the first one being that famous 6-1 here at Hayes Lane. The second one, you and I commentated together on.
Yeah, so what was it? 28th of December, I think it was.
It was freezing
cold after Christmas. Went up there and they was finding a bit of form, wasn't they? And we managed to get the 1-0 early.
I think it was just shortly after Justin Edinburgh took over, wasn't it? Yeah, I think, wasn't it the first game under their new ownership?
Pitch was horrendous as well. Talk about pitches, obviously by December.
We were wondering whether it was going to go ahead, weren't we?
Yeah, there was part of it that was just underwater. And I think the ref questioned it, put it on. Bromley fans were amazing, like in voice. And we was up at the gantry at the top commentating and 1-0. And just sitting it out for that long. We were sitting so deep for what, the last 60 minutes.
And let's be honest, Cookie, we got absolutely battered in that game.
We did.
Leighton Orient down to 10 men early on. Louis Dennis giving Bromley the lead after about 20 minutes, I think it was. And after that, it was just one-way traffic, wasn't it? David Gregory with an amazing performance. Leighton Orient hitting the bar, hitting the post, piling on the pressure, and we saw it out in the end, didn't we?
Yeah,
to a well-earned 3 points.
It was a very credible win. So we are still undefeated in the league against Leighton Orient, and let's hope we can keep up with that tomorrow.
Fingers crossed. It's going to be a tough one.
You talk about amazing crowds at Orient. You have to flash back to, was it 2011 or 2012 in the FA Cup? Again, was that the first round?
Yes, it was.
I mean, you talk about the way the football world works and everything like that, and you can include George Porter in that and think we came up against Orient. What was the scoring day? I think we got
3-0.
We got beat 3-0. Aaron Rule sent off. Blimey,
playing for Cray.
I tell you what about that date, how many years ago is that now? Six years ago, I guess.
Yeah.
So, God, I must have been 2021. Absolute naive. I was kit man. I'm only saying about kit because Ted's here, our kit man, and I was doing the kit at the time. Just privilege should be involved in any way, shape, or form, anyway. And we launched a thing. Was it Operation 3000 or something like that? I think we'd worked out that the away stand, that east stand that they had there, holds 3000, and obviously were they in League One at the time?
Yes.
And we'd done our utmost to try and sell as many tickets as we could. I think we sold about 1,800, 1,900 in the end. And I promise you, I was fortunate enough to be in the dressing room, and we stuck some photos up around the dressing room, and everything you try and do to make it especially important. And when the teams came up those stairs, because rather than a tunnel, they've got the stairs at Orient, you come up from underneath the stand and you go up. And I promise you, I think the crowd was about 5,000 that day. It was 1,800 at Bromley, directly opposite where you came up the stairs, and all you could hear were... as the teams are coming up to see, was just roar, and it was spine, it was hairs on your arm, everything.
Yeah.
And that day was, it was crazy because the atmosphere was amazing. I mean, the Bromley fans, like I said, 1,900 of them. I think when you look back, I think the stats for that season, they were in League One at the time. No other away team brought more fans to Brisbane Road than Bromley, other than, I think it was Leeds United at the time, who were in League One. Leeds United were the only club in the whole of League One football, and everything, FA Cup, everything that happened for them that year. We brought more fans to Brisbane Road than any other club other than Leeds United. I mean, that was quite absolutely incredible. And I tell you what I remember most about that game was when it was 0-0, and I mean, you talk about the players that we had involved, that, like you said, Aaron Rule, we had Gareth Williams, I think.
Tommy Forecast in goal.
Tommy Forecast. I mean,
Hakeem Araba.
I'm not a fashion expert, but he had the most dodgy leather jacket you've ever seen, I promise you. And he's the most, anyway. And Hakeem Araba, who played? Yeah. Joe Dolan, love him. Joe Dolan, Joe Dolan at centre back.
Moses Swaybu.
Moses Swaybu. It just seems a world away from where we are now. But I promise you, when it was 0-0, I remember the ball falling to Gareth Williams on the edge of the box. You did not want the ball to fall to anyone else. He was the best finisher we had in that 11. It fell to him and he hit it straight at the goalkeeper. I just remember, in those moments where you think there's one moment that could possibly change how this game is going to go, and missed it. And then, the rest of the game just unfolded. George Porter obviously made numerous friends on the Bromley side of it. And it's amazing how football works all these years later. 7-8 years later, he's on our side. And we all love him.
Swings and roundabouts.
But that was an incredible day. And then, like you said, to then come here in last year, whenever it was, and for us to go and win 6-1.
And for George Porter to score.
6-1, Matt. It wasn't just, what was the crowd? 2,500,
yeah.
Whatever it was. There was such a... I remember standing there going, all the time flashing back to that FA Cup game at Brisbane Road, and they were a League One side and there were this many leagues above us and all of that. And you look at football and what's possible and where we might go, and you have to look at that and go... Pinch yourself. 6-7 football seasons ago, we were that far apart. 3-4 divisions. And yet here we were on that day, whenever it was it start of last season? And we were playing on a level playing field. They were at the same level of football as us, no matter what the capacity they have at their ground, no matter how many away fans they take, no matter what was going on.
And we finished above them.
Smaller club Bromley still are, and the biggest borough in London, and we should be better than we are. Forget the fact we've got however many football league clubs on our doorstep. And here we were on that day, 90 minutes of football, and we went out there. I to this, honestly, I can watch watch it back anytime. Every single one of those goals, when the fans cheer and everything like that, you just were pinching yourself. And I remember just standing out there, just watching it all unfold under the lights. And because it was painful that first round. It was painful because we'd done such an effort to get so many fans there. Like I said, the 1,800 fans that made it, and we outsung them for the whole game. All you could hear the whole game was Bromley fans. I promise you, it was, because I think I was sitting just to the right of the dugout at the time, and it was directly opposite, and that's all you could hear. And obviously, George Moore had a worldie for them. He switched sides in the end, I think, second half, and run riot. Aaron Rule got sent off, and you know, we lost 3-0. We didn't even have a goal to celebrate. But the effort we made to get the fans there and everything like that, and to lose like we did, and then when we came here, you know, those many years later, to go and beat
incredible,
here,
isn't it?
Was just absolutely phenomenal. I don't know. You look at markers in history. You look at points where you go, oh, the club has, you know, that's a marker where the club has developed, or that's where you go, that's when they made it, or that's when they were an established club, and all those sorts of things. And definitely, whenever you look back, whenever someone rewrites the history book and everything like that, that was definitely one of those markers where you go, wow, absolutely incredible. And everyone said it. I know Leighton Orient was saying, oh, they're on the demise, etc., everything like that, and it won't happen again. I think we then played Hartlepool on the Saturday, didn't we?
And beat them 2-0.
So, yeah, absolutely incredible. I think we did go to Dagenham and get stuffed. I remember that was just after that. Typical Bromley, isn't it? All nothing. But yeah, I forgot where we're going with this. I was just reminiscing.
Well, we're going to talk about on that memory, Jeff. There, the FA Cup memory away touring. I think we're going to cover our FA Cup or fans' favourite FA Cup memories, Cookie.
Yeah. So the question was, as Matt said, what was your favourite FA Cup memory, Matt? Few people have been messaging on Twitter. James Heard, that's James_Heard, said Richard Piquet's last minute winner against Worcester City in 2012 qualified for the first round of the FA Cup.
Alan Andrews, with a bit of a left field choice, I must say, was a specific moment in the 3-0 victory over Dover Athletic last year in the FA Cup replay, and that was Adam Mecky's corner, which was summed up by the Sun newspaper as the worst corner contender of the season. So we went on to win 3-0, which was all that mattered that
he's
night.
Still up there. Colin Head at Fatboy on on Twitter said it has to be October 1996, beating Sutton 1-0 in the fourth round qualifying with a late goal. It was the first time we reached the round in 19
years. I think I've seen a photo of that. I think Mark Havlin might have taken a photo of that. No, was it that game? I mean, something else. No, ignore me.
Matt, next one.
Yes, Martin Ramsey, Super Nick McDonald slotting home against Gillingham in front of the Bromley fans. Thought the scaffold stand was going to come down.
I'm going to interrupt you again. I'm so sorry. I don't like this, Mike. What's that, mate? That game, Gillingham, unbelievable. And I think we've got the commentary for it somewhere. And I'll cut this somehow when we record it, and we'll put it in because it's absolutely brilliant.
Bromley did pull one back. Nick McDonald with a neat finish.
A shout out to Mark Avnell there. I think recorded it on a VHS back in the day, I think 2006, and then somehow converted it into a digital file for us. That was that goal at Gillingham from Nick McDonald. We were 2-0 down at the time, and Nick McDonald got the guys a great ball from Gareth Williams inside his own half, and Nick McDonald went kind of slotted away again. That day we must have took 1500 there to Gillingham, and the whole stand is temporary seating, all scaffolding, everything like that.
Still is,
and
isn't it?
Being non-league, we weren't used to being told where to see and everything like that, and they did all the tickets. And I promise you, I remember there's a photo of all the row of seating. There's about 20 in a seat, you know, 20 in a row, etc. And there's a photo. And I promise you, there's about 45 of us all standing in a row, which is designed for 20 seats, all packed up. All the stewards are asking us to move, everything like that. And somebody was in there with us at the time. And it shows you how far away it was. And you talk about football. And if it was Bradley Goldberg, he was in there with us. I think Mash over on Twitter, I think there's a photo somewhere on Facebook and everything. He's on the terrace with us, behind the goal, watching that game happen. You know, and all the years later, you don't realise or appreciate the fact that he might play for the club one day and do what he did for us in the Coventry South season. But when Nick McDonald scored that goal, we were still in. That was 2-1. I remember Sam Wood had a volley and it was saved. I think they eventually went on to win. I can't remember, was it 3-1 or 4-1? Dorian Ngumbu and Sumbu or someone. I think nutmegged Francis Duku and scored a worldie in a corner. But Donald O'Sullivan, just absolute memories. That is a great one.
But going back to it as well, Nick Nowhere says...
Oh, yeah, forget that. Just go and find, we'll crack on with the list.
No time for reminiscing.
No time for reminiscing.
No, well, the podcast's getting on. We've got a busy one today. Nick Nowhere says, has to be Colchester at home for me. Flying out of San Francisco on Thursday, arriving Friday afternoon. Up on early Saturday to meet in the pub, flying back to San Francisco on the Sunday. Shame about the result, but you can't be being at the lane with your best friends and dad on a day like that.
What about the crowd? 4,242 that day.
There we go, the man with all the figures there. Matt, any more?
Yes, Will Clutton getting in on the conversation with Dan Lambert and Pete Williams. It was Simon Langley, sweet curling finish from 12 yards out. I still have the VHS of the game in my room at my parents'. The spectacle of Lee Holder refusing to leave the pitch to Bartley waiting inside the tunnel was a joy to watch.
Fantastic. Thank you for everyone who's sent their answers in. We've got another question for this week.
Cookie, it's your question. So this week, the glory is yours.
Have we done Pete Williams, the Suttons, slicing the match winner in the own goal? No, I've just seen it. Pete Williams over on Twitter, Suttons Eddie Akamoa slicing a match winning own goal into the roof of the net immediately after kissing the badge on his shirt as he stood on the back post. Third qualifying round replay 2004. I must admit, I really enjoyed having a look back at some of the old comments of everybody, and obviously some of those are only remembered by certain fans, etc. But it's been brilliant. I don't know if you had a look over on Facebook or
we did. Yeah, I don't think there was anything on there at the moment.
Okay, so we pretty much covered it. Obviously, our question this week. Obviously, I think I've had a great idea.
Cookie.
Go on, Jeff, you take the credit for that one.
No, go on. It's your one. Go for it.
Who is the most underrated Bromley Football Club player who have ever played for Bromley?
This is going to be controversial.
It will be, but it's a good question. Again, like that, there's so many answers that it can be. We have our own views.
So what have you gone for, sorry? What was the question again?
The most underrated player to play for Bromley
Football Club. The most underrated player to play for Bromley Football Club. Underrated.
Can you believe that question come from me? I think that's underrated. The most surprising thing, to be honest.
I know. Who's told you that? Someone's told you that.
No one's
Ted,
told me.
It was Ted.
Matt, how do they provide us with the answers?
You can get in touch by tweeting us at Bromley FC using the hashtag RavensWeekly, replying to our Facebook post, or emailing podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk.
Is that it?
I think we're there. I think that was just a brief moment of shock that we've actually got to the end of this podcast.
I think we've actually waffled on. Somehow this is going to be the longest podcast ever.
Warm up.
A big thank you to... Oh, yeah, you've got your game, haven't you?
He's got his game face on.
Big thank you to everybody who has downloaded and listened to this podcast as ever. It's much appreciated. Big thank you to Crown Ash Developments for sponsoring the podcast as always. Somehow we've made it to 16 episodes, so a big thank you there. Thank you to Cookie and Matt, as always.
Pleasure.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Brilliant. Obviously, Leighton Orient on Saturday. Matt, on, David, you're going to be live on commentary duty.
Indeed.
Over on the website, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. Obviously, following that, we're at home to Dagenham on Saturday.
24th.
Thank you for that. I was going to lose that. tickets available online, as always, as ever. It'll be great to get as close to our crowd we had for the Peterborough game as possible. I think all those that were at the Peterborough game know the effort and application that was put in, and I think if we can play anywhere near that the next two games, then we know we've got a great chance of really kicking on. So a big thank you to everybody who turned up and made that game. It'd be great to see as many people as possible at the Dagenham game. A big thank you to all of those that bought the Leighton Orient tickets and making the trip. The fact there's going to be 500 Bromley fans there, so cheering on the boys in front of a sellout crowd at Brisbane Roads, I'm sure it's going to be much appreciated by all the players involved. Thanks again, and we'll be back again next week.
What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.